Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Office Evolution Radio. And Stone, this is going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. It surprised me a little bit when I saw we were going to get a chance to visit with this guest. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Family Law Solutions and Southern Legal Solutions, mediator, trainer, consultant, Shanna Pothier. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are doing well. Now, Shanna, before we get too far into things, tell us about Family Law Solutions and Southern Legal Solutions. How are you serving folks?
So Family Law Solutions is kind of our umbrella that helps in the family law sector. We help attorneys and their staff and help teach them to be able to serve their clients the best. We also offer some concierge divorce services to the public, if you will, directly to the litigants. And then we can bring them and match them with a great attorney to be able to make it through this very difficult time that they would be going through with family law litigation.
So now, you're not a lawyer, though.
I am not, no.
You spend most of your time helping lawyers have successful practices.
That's correct.
So they're out there battling because they're lawyers.
That's correct.
Law school, they don't teach you about back office and operations and things like that. They teach you law stuff.
They do. Well, and honestly, some of them, they don't even have a family law class coming out of
Really?
But they know that they wanted to be family lawyers, and depending on the scheduling offerings and if what type of program they were in law school, they may have known that they wanted to specialize in family law, but never even got the opportunity to take a family law class.
So now, how do you kind of come into play? How do they even know you exist?
I network and go meet people, and I've been in Atlanta for about almost 15 years now in serving in specialty with the family law community.
And then you started your work, though, working at a family law or in the
yes.
legal field in some manner, right?
I did, yes. I was a family law paralegal for some of the best attorneys here in town. My last one is actually on the bench now in Fulton Superior Court, and we're very proud of her.
So now, when you kind of saw that side of the business, you realized that, hey, some of these lawyers don't know what they're doing from an operational standpoint, and you thought you'd be able to help them?
Well, they do their best, but they want to practice law. They don't want to run a business often. And when it comes to finding good staff and doing things like that, getting the clients in the door sometimes, and so I can come in and help them see where maybe they could kind of spin some things and do some things differently to be able to serve their clients and grow their business.
Now, do you see a mistake that they typically make? A lot of them make kind of the similar mistake over and over. You're like, here we go again.
Yeah, I think some of them fail to realize that it's still a sales business. They think, I just need to practice law. I mean, think about the best doctor you've ever met. And if they're brash and rude whenever you're actually meeting with them, you don't get warm fuzzies, even if they're the best surgeon in all of life. And so often that's one of the things that I see from them. And a matter of that their staff is actually doing the first point of contact and the first sale, if you will, and getting the person in the door or in for the consult. And then that the consult itself is almost a match meeting to see if you want to work with this client and if this client wants to work with you.
So if they're doing that wrong, that could impact their business.
Absolutely.
Because then the person says, you know what, this person's a jerk. Why would I want to?
Right. They can be great. But if they're a jerk, then, and I've even had a marketing company bring me on because they were working with a firm and they were tracking the matrix to know that they were getting the phones to ring, but none of it was converting. And of course, the attorney is blaming the marketing firm.
Right.
So the marketing firm brings me on as a consultant to say, hey, help us fix this because we know that we're getting the phones to ring. And so I was able to kind of come in and look. And the first thing that I noticed was that the receptionist, the first point of contact and sale, her thought was to return all new client calls within 72 hours.
72.
72, yeah. Three business days that she thought. Yeah, and that's 72, not business hours, 8 to 5, but, Saturday and Sunday didn't count in that.
Of course not. So that could be a week later.
Right. So it really, that initially was like, there's your first problem. And then it kind of was that once they were coming in to meet, the attorney was more talking at the client and telling the client all that they knew, but they weren't doing a good job of helping the client to feel cared for.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, has things changed for an attorney in today's world where a lot of information is out there online and a person might do some of their searching without ever stepping foot into the office.
Yeah, it makes your website all the more important, because I find so many websites are very blah, maybe, if we can, that they don't have a lot of information.
Yeah, you know, the big picture of the person, the years they went to school,
right?
You know, what,
yeah. And that's not what a client cares about. Right. I mean, if you've been out 1 year, but you make the client feel like you are going to work their case like it is the only case that you have, and you are going to be there for them no matter what comes next. Because, I mean, it's a scary time for them in family law.
So now walk me through what an engagement looks like. So a person, they could be, you said, like a recent graduate, or they could be in business for 5 years, mm-hmm. but they're typically a smaller firm, right? They're not a mega firm.
Right.
And so they're frustrated maybe, or they don't know what they don't know. And they're like, you know what, I need some help. Let me call Shanna and her folks. So what does that first initial conversation look like?
I take all of those conversations myself. I'm very hands-on in my business. I'm the one that is dealing with every single client that I have, and mm-hmm. I find that it makes the difference. And so they call me, and if it's a brand new one, we just kind of talk about what life looks like and what they want life to look like, mm-hmm. because there's a reason they're seeking me. There's something that's not working well in their life.
Right.
And I'm able to kind of just kind of talk it out
so
with
them.
So
what are some of the questions you're asking them?
So that's one of the first things I'm asking is what's working well and what isn't working well.
Okay.
You know, what is it that you need help with? Is it okay. that you have staff
let's
issues?
Let's role play a little. I'm loving my clients. You know, I okay. really like serving them. I'm just frustrated. I'm not getting enough clients in here. You know, I'm getting people inquire. I can tell they're coming to my website, but I'm not having conversations where I'm able to, you know, get them as clients.
Yeah, so if they were saying they can see they're coming to the website, then we would probably take a look at their website and what type of information they have and what message they're sending to their client when they're reading that. Because like mm-hmm. you said, if we're looking at, oh, I went to this law school for this year, and that's not the kind of thing that your client's wanting. So we'll visit the website and see if it's truly serving the client and what they need, and even helping the client to feel cared for and as though you're going to be the right match for them. Because if they're clicking your website and going through the pages and then not calling, there's something that's turning them off on the website before they ever even have a chance to talk with anyone.
Now, what about if they're like, I'm just slammed. I'm doing as many hours as I possibly can. I'd like to bring on a partner of mm-hmm. some kind. Do you ever get those calls?
I absolutely do. Yeah, I have one that we've been looking at potential partnership for a long time. But the thing about a partner in this is it's almost like a marriage. And so you can't just...
They're in family law. It should be
right.
easy.
Oh, yeah. For the divorce part. Right. That's real easy, right? And so, but it's about finding someone that you truly want to do life with, right? So you can't just put an ad out and look for a partner. It's not that easy. I often encourage them to network within their community and identify those people that they have seen that they want to be like, or that they truly enjoy spending time with, because they're going to spend a lot of time with this person. And so that's typically where we start. I ask them, who is it that you like in the legal community? Let's make a list. And then let's start seeing how viable any of those options are.
So now from a family law standpoint, does it make sense of, well, I'll do the family law, let me find a business attorney or another complimentary or a psychologist or something to partner? Like, doesn't that make sense sometimes?
Certainly. Yeah, I've had some where they do that, and the only downside that I've seen to that is then if you know you have a family law partner and a criminal partner, then if the criminal calls come in while the criminal attorney is on their 2-week vacation, that which they should be entitled to take, mm-hmm. then all of those leads no one can do anything with. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I prefer that they stay specialized if they can keep it. But then I see being able to bring the full round of services to your clients, because mm-hmm. there are certainly complementary services, like criminal and family law tend to overlap quite often.
Really?
Yes, one leads to the other quite often.
So if there's a criminal problem, there might be a divorce looming.
There may be, yes.
So now, what's the most rewarding part of your job?
Helping people. That's truly my heart. I love to help people, whether it's the attorney and help them and their life get way less chaotic, or it's the clients. I mean, I like walking through the process with them. It's scary. I've helped thousands of families through this. So when they're deer in the headlights look, I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's totally fine. This is normal. This is what you should expect. Or I can show them these aren't the parts that are there. This part is not normal. This part is directed at you. What's going on? And let's talk about it.
So now family law, is that only divorce, or that could be
child custody, child support, modifications, which would generally entail child custody or support, legitimations for like when parents are not married and they have children, paternity actions, mm-hmm. things like that.
So now you got into family law by choice, or
did
was this kind of one of these accidents where, oh, my first job was in family law, so then...
I always had a heart for family law. Probably I find that the love for family law comes from either growing up as a child within there being family law issues, or going through some type of terrible family law issue yourself as an adult, and then it spawns that passion. Mm-hmm. I'm young, so you can imagine that it came from growing up in a family law situation type home.
I found that I have an elderly father, and there's a lot of people that work with the elderly that had the similar type of life experience, like they were very close to their grandparents, so then that kind of led them. Do you find that like an elder law that happens as well?
Yeah, I've not done too much in elder law, but I can imagine that it's that similar love. As someone that I do know that was in family law or in elder law, excuse me, they came from a nursing background where mm-hmm. they saw lots of issues in nursing homes. And so it really spawned a love for them to be able to care and provide more assistance than the medical assistance that they needed. And so they moved on into going to law school and pursuing elder law for protection of rights.
So now elder law and family law, it would seem to me that there is an opportunity to overlap, but those are totally separate.
Totally separate, yeah. They tend to be listed with the bar as the same, though. It's kind of funny that they listed as family and elder law, but they're separate areas.
Now, when a client uses your service, is it something where you go in and kind of fix something and then you're done, or is it something that you kind of work with them on an ongoing basis?
I offer both. A lot of my clients I have worked with for years, and I continue with their firms, and some months they may need me a lot, and some months they may need me a little. The thing is, if they call, I'll answer, and we'll figure out what the problem is, and we'll fix it. And some I work with on a very short term. Hey, we need this training, and we want to do this training for our staff, and then I offer some suggestions of what I've seen from training for the couple of days, and then I'm done. But then when they call 6 months later, I still answer.
Now, what would be an example of some training that they would kind of work with you around?
Oh, I have Family Law Bootcamp. It's a four-class series that I created that's CLE approved, and it teaches attorneys and paralegals and their staff how to do family law from a molecular level. We really focus on the why we do things, because so often in law they say do this, and they're saying what to do, but if you don't know why you're doing something, then you can actually really mess a family up by just doing what you thought you were supposed to do when you mm-hmm. didn't know why you do it.
Now, when you kind of made the transition from working for a firm to having your own firm, what was that transition like for you?
The transition for me was I was supposed to be a stay-at-home mom, and God just didn't make me that way. So I thought, man, I have a college degree and I love what I do. And so I just put myself out there to start doing contract work to bring the specialized services to more of a general practitioner attorney that would get a family law case here or there. And then it grew to where I had 15 law firms that I was supporting by myself. So you can imagine it was just kind of insane, to put it lightly. And so one day I just said, nope, I can't fish for everyone anymore, but I can teach you how to fish. So the next person that called, I said, nope, I don't do this for people. I can teach you. What do you need to know to do? And so that was about 3 years ago.
So then when you kind of made that mental shift for yourself, did you have to kind of restructure your business in the sense that, okay, now if I'm teaching someone, then I need these materials?
I already had all the materials.
So you
that
had
was the
them
nice thing. Yeah.
Because you had already been doing the stuff and you were documenting it along the way.
Right, exactly. So I had, you know, my own forms, files, and things like that where I had put together for the 10 years or so that I had already done that. And mm-hmm. then I had a paralegal reach out to me and say, well, my firm isn't willing to train me. They're not willing to pay for training, I guess is probably
right,
the way to
exactly.
put it.
They're happy to train you. We're right. not going to pay anybody to
right,
do that.
Right, exactly. And so she said, do you have anything I can do on my own?
Uh-huh, and like self-directed.
Exactly. And I thought, well, I don't, but I've had this thought in my head to make this class where you could just come one day for a boot camp, if you will, because mm-hmm. we are going to cover a lot in it. And so that was where the first family law boot camp was spawned. And then I wrote three others to go with it and kind of round out the series so that I could cover more with them.
So in that first boot camp, they physically came to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the boot camps are in person. Yeah, I still do those once a month.
And then where would that take place?
I partner with Atlanta Legal Aid and do them there. It's a wonderful place and I can give back.
And then so like it's in a conference room setting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a training center in the bottom floor. And so we're able to provide training there for all kinds of nonprofits and then also for the public sector as far as the firms go.
And then what's the kind of the agenda of that day?
For each of them, it's a little different, but we break down essentially why it is that they do all of it. So mm-hmm. for the main boot camp, you know, we start with the client intake call and how important it is that you get those done quickly and to the point, but you make the client feel heard. heard and like you listened and that they're cared for in the short amount of time, because ultimately we're all running businesses and we can't bill anyone for that intake call. So a lot of times new staff tend to think, oh, I talked to them for an hour. Yay, right. I did such a good job.
Check and it's like,
nope, you didn't. Who could you bill for that? So, and I kind of try and help them see things like that, that are really important to the firm, but you might not would think initially.
And then to kind of give them kind of a macro view of how the organization operates, not just the tasks that
exactly.
they're doing.
Exactly. And more kind of the thought process behind it. And at this point, I've done it so many times, I have it down to a script that I literally look at myself when I do intake calls. So it's easy to get off what you know you're supposed to be doing and forget to ask a piece of information that was important. And so I walk them through it and we role play in the class. And then we move on to, you know, drafting petitions and the important parts. That way they know, and it's not left just up to the attorney. For example, you have to live in Georgia for 6 months before you qualify to file for a divorce. So that's something that kind of the staff at the initial thing should be looking at least. They might not should be telling people because it would be legal advice as to whether they can or can't, but that's certainly something they should kind of have their mind in tune to. If the person says, oh, I moved here last month, that's a note I would make on the file of they need to hang out for 5 months.
Or sorry.
Right. Well, and often they'll go ahead and come do the consult, and then you can speak with them, because the divorce is a long process, unfortunately, sometimes. So just because we can't file today doesn't mean we can't start trying to help you figure out how to make life better and get the situation a little better until it can be filed.
So now you started the business around this family law, and then it's expanded.
It has. Yeah, it's expanded more into placement services. I'm currently placing one right now that I think she's going to get hired on tomorrow. So I'm super excited.
So this is like a new attorney to get a job? Or
this is a staff person. This is an attorney that has been looking for a staff person for 2 years now and has gone through all
picky.
They've gone through all of the traditional, the legal placement services, and nothing has really panned out so far. And so I've been looking at thousands of resumes over the last few weeks, and I whittled it down to two that I thought were both highly qualified candidates, and he liked one of them better, and he did a phone interview with one, and he's doing the in-person tomorrow, but he already believes that he'll be offering her the position so long as nothing goes wrong tomorrow.
So then their services? Is that staffing?
Yeah, we do staffing, and then I come in with business consulting too and help them kind of look at what the numbers are, because it's a big kept secret that any attorney will tell you that they hate numbers. They absolutely went to law school because numbers are not their friend. They don't want to do them. A few of them are really good at numbers, so it's still works out, but most of them don't want to deal with it, and so they need staff that are really good at numbers. And so I try and help find someone who complements them if we're doing that as far as the placement goes, but overall helping them look at the numbers of the business and being mindful of the kind of the downtime, and that you can't just go times 40 minus their salary, that not everything adds up that way, and help them build spreadsheets and things like that to really track things and help them figure out if they're at the right billable structure. Some of them we've flipped over to being on flat fee if it makes sense for them, just to kind of ease the burdens of whatever's not working in their firm.
Now, do you help them kind of in terms of build a partnership? And, you know, if a law firm, you know, they work their way up to partner, do you help them with that kind of structure as well?
I've had a few that are wanting to gain a partner, but we've still been assessing that because, like I said, we make the list, and then it's like you whittle down the list, and then maybe that wasn't the best list, and we need to start another list because, you know, you did your top three.
What about the just the concept of, okay, this is how we're going to structure a law, or is our all law firm structured the same way?
I mean, they're somewhat structured the same way, but I do come in and help them look at maybe some perks that could make life different for, you know, you don't want to pay someone a bunch of money to sit around on their hands. And so sometimes we can kind of restructure things where it makes more sense and bring in contract help, if that makes sense, versus having a full-time employee, if that's not something that you really need right now. I sit down with them with their billing and help them see if it's time to shift someone's role or their position, or bring on an associate, or bring on a paralegal, bring on a staff person, bring on contract help for bookkeeping or things like that.
Now, when you're doing that kind of consulting, are you kind of a coach in terms
of... To some degree, yes.
You know, you're checking in on some rhythm and saying, okay, this is what we said we're going to work on this month, or...
Yeah, we tend to put together a plan for them. I'm good at plans and checklists, and so...
That's your superpower.
It is one of my superpowers, yes. And so we kind of put together the plan, and then I follow back up with them. Where are we on this? How has this gone? Have you been able to reach this? If you haven't, then let's reassess the steps that we're at. You know, we said you'd do this by Monday, and today's Thursday, so, you know, have we met this goal yet? And if we haven't, then let's restructure it, because often people will get behind on their plans, and if they get behind, then they get overwhelmed, and we can restructure and pivot. There's nothing so set in stone that if it's not working, we can figure it out to make it work for them.
Now, do you have a story you could share? I wouldn't name names, but of a lawyer that you helped take to the next level or to a new level?
Oh, so one of my favorites, actually, he was not even a lawyer whenever I started working with him. He had already passed the bar, so it's not really fair to say he wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't a practicing lawyer yet. And so I've walked with him for about 18 months at this point through him actually practicing law for the last 18 months. And we were able to get him in a solid six-figure first year. So I was very proud in helping him grow that.
Mm-hmm. And then so is he... he has his own firm?
Mm-hmm. His first year practicing, fresh out of law school.
So, without any kind of experience?
None. Yeah.
And then you help. So, how do you help a person like that doesn't have any clients or experience?
We looked at places that he could market as far as getting registered with different bar associations because they have referral sites and things like that. Also with some of the online things like Justia or Avvo or those types of websites where he can really start to engage with the people that actually needed him and that engagement and feeling cared for. Right?
Now, how important or is it important for a lawyer to have kind of leverage social media or to publish kind of work or in LinkedIn or those kind of different social media networks?
I mean, I would say that it is very important. I find it less important on something like LinkedIn. I would think that's more for their peers, but if they're looking for that higher professional clientele, they're going to be on LinkedIn and checking that type of thing too. Mm-hmm. As far as social media goes, it tends to be that someone's looking for you before they know you exist, right? So it is important that they can find that depth when they do find you. So that is important. I would say their website really is the most important place because once they are told to go there, then if you have stuff for the client to be able to read and hold and feel, because in this time they're information starved. The client they want to know something. They want to understand what's going to happen next.
So then that type of content on the website should be what in your mind?
Typically, you want to give a good description of kind of what it is that you do, but keeping in mind that it's not you talking at the client, it's you showing the client that you can help walk them through this, that it's something that you've done before, but it's something that you're going to individualize and care for them. Mm-hmm.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, what are the coordinates?
As far as what?
Website.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Oh, at familylawsolutionsinc.com. And we also have southernlegalsolutions.com.
And your clients, a lot of them are in the Atlanta area, but they are also could be anywhere, right?
Yes. The vast majority of mine are in the Atlanta area, but I've recently begun working with attorneys as far as California and Colorado. And it's been very exciting to see how it opens up because the mentalities are the same across all of the states.
Exciting times.
It is, yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Yes, thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.
Thanks. Thank you. It's kind of nerdy. Yeah, I really love what I get to do. It's awesome.